Blog Talk Radio.
Revelation in just a few minutes. Stay tuned. We will be with you shortly.
Thank y'all very much for listening to us. It's been a pleasure to play for you. Thank you so much. On the guitar and some of the vocals, Mr. Gintrow on the guitar and the vocals. On the bass and some of the vocals, Mr. Keith Mosley. On the drums, the apartment QC58, Mr. Jeff Sykes.
Welcome to Friday Night Specials with Diane Lenning. This is your host, Diane Lenning, coming to you live from the United States of America, reaching out especially tonight to the Eastern Hemisphere and the countries of Africa and all of the Mideast, Europe, Asia, and Latin America as well in Western Hemisphere. We are so glad you are with us tonight. You are special, and God has given this time for us to meet together and share in the Word tonight in the study of the book of Revelation. And we will be starting in a few minutes, probably at chapter 14, but I'll recap a little on what we read last time. We are so glad you are here with us tonight, and I'd like you to know that we are aware of some of your happenings in Africa and the Mideast, and we know that many things have happened this week. There was a new pope selected, which is a huge event in modern times as well as history, whether you're Catholic or not. I happen to not be Catholic, but I am aware that he is the leader of a large Christian organization of Catholicism, and we respect and work together with those in all of Christianity, regardless of your denomination. We all serve and worship the Lord Jesus and believe in accepting him as our Savior is our gateway to heaven. And I have some different scriptures to share with you tonight regarding your heavenly place and how you can join us there in the afterlife and be with us all together as children of God, both here on earth and in the afterlife. We thank you so much again. We're going to open in prayer. I'm just going to pray in my own words tonight, and then a little later I'll say the Lord's Prayer, as I usually do. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to share with one another and to get to know our Christian brothers and sisters and friends around the world who are all one body of Christ and grooming and preparing ourselves to be the bride of Christ as we sense and feel and believe the event of Jesus returning to earth. Stepping on the Mount Olives will soon be. And Lord, help us to be aware and not sucked in by those who might be false prophets or false messiahs. Lord, help us to know in the Spirit the genuine Messiah. For we know that the Scripture speaks of false prophets and a false messiah. And we want to be led by the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that each one of us who are a part of your Bride of Christ, a part of the family of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, that the Holy Spirit will give a witness to our spirit to the reality and the realness of the true and living Savior when he returns for us to rule and reign with him. Lord, we pray you'll give us greater understanding of the book of Revelation as we read tonight. We pray for each individual, Lord, who is listening and their family members and friends who need prayer. Lord, we know that there are many who are ill and need a touch of the Lord Jesus. We pray and believe for a healing touch of the Lord Jesus of those who have a need of healing. Lord, we know there are many. Whatever their infirmity be, Lord, whether it be simple or of severe nature, we pray that you would reach right now and touch each one as only you can do, Lord Jesus, and heal them in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for those yet who are going to receive you as their Savior tonight or whenever, Lord, that you would prepare their hearts and woo them unto you by your Spirit. And we're now going to say the Lord's Prayer together. Now, you might recall that the Lord's Prayer is found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. So if you need to get out your scripture to read that, you can do that. Or just if you've memorized it by now, say that along with us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, the devil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I just feel like tonight I'm supposed to talk about salvation at the beginning before we read the scripture. Because perhaps there are some of those who listen and don't listen to the end when I often give the call to salvation. And I have a couple of new scriptures tonight. I usually read John 3:16, which I think is important. Everyone who wants to become a Christian know that verse. In John 3:16 it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his begotten Son, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Indeed, I'm saying that Jesus Christ is God's best gift to us. And did you know that in 1 John 1:9 it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." In Revelation 1:5, "and washed us from our sin in his blood." Are we justified to receive this wonderful gift? Do we have to earn it? Well, listen to what Acts 13, verse 39 says. "And by him," that's Jesus, "all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." And in 1 John 3:9 it says, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin thereafter, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God when he is truly born of God." Galatians 3:26, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ." That is when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So if you have a fear that you have done such great and horrible sins and such dastardly deeds that you couldn't be forgiven, fear not. For behold, Jesus stands at the door of your heart and knocks. And in Revelation 3:20 he says, "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." In Romans 10:9 it says, "Pray to God, I surrender my life unto his hands, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Praise the name of the Lord. And in Romans 6:23, you can say, "I accept the gift of God, for the scripture says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Indeed, the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ is God's best gift that you can receive right now, no matter who you are, whether you be man or woman, adult or child, rich or poor, smart or not so smart, a great job or not, or wherever you live, whatever race or nationality you are. God loves us all and wants us all to be part of God's family. So bow your heads with me and say this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I have been separated from you. I believe that Christ died on the cross and shed his blood for my sins, and I receive your forgiveness. I am willing to turn from my way and go your way, Lord. I want to step out of darkness and step into the light to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, I now invite you into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. I ask for forgiveness of my sins, and I will follow and obey you as the Lord of my life all the days of my life. And I pray that the gift of the Holy Spirit you gave before you departed this world to the heavenlies, that the Holy Spirit, the gift you gave, will guide me and walk with me, be my friend, give me understanding of the scripture as I study in the days ahead and learn more about what the scripture says, especially in the New Testament and the epistles, and John, Matthew, Luke, and Mark, those four books especially, and later on Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians, all those good books that tell how to be a Christian. Lord, we pray that you would help me to drop the shackles, the sins of my prior life as a sinner, and that you would help me to put on the armor of God, as it tells me in Ephesians 6, to be a warrior and a child for and of God's family. We thank you so much for forgiveness and your gift of salvation. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The angels in heaven sing each time a new person has joined the kingdom of God. They're singing praises right now in heaven and with us in our heart, as you have given your heart to the Lord. Reach out to those Christians you may know around you for information about how to study the scripture, how to grow into a mature Christian, into the stature of Jesus Christ, as he gives the example in the New Testament of how to live a Christian life. We know that the good things in life we do unto the Lord, and that we may not be perfect, but our forgiveness comes from the blood that Jesus Christ has shed for our sins, and by the fact that we have received Jesus as our Savior. We don't enter into heaven because of our good works, but the Lord does expect us to do the good works that he reveals in our hearts to do, to produce much fruit. I believe that is doing the works, the good works that God wants us to do. Let me grow into a mature tree, so to speak, and produce much fruit to teach others how to be Christians. I believe that's what the Lord would have us to do. And we have found out in reading in Revelation that he would rather we not be lukewarm, that we indeed be very warm for the Lord, indeed hot for the Lord, working to the best of our ability to enact the principles of Christianity within our own lives and to share the good news with others around us. And we are so grateful that you have received the Lord and you are now a part of God's family. Welcome into God's family. I have always been grateful and have believed that I made the right decision around 60 years ago to accept Jesus as my Savior, and it's the way I would choose again if I had an opportunity again, would be to live a life as a Christian. Let's just praise the Lord together as we are so glad that many of you have now accepted the Lord. Let's worship together in Here I Am to Worship, as sung by Tim Hughes. These songs are available online if you just Google in the name of the songs I give. Let's worship the Lord together with Here I Am to Worship. I will be back with you shortly, so stay with me.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that makes this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Oh,
just feel the Lord has put heavily upon my heart, my Christian friends and countrymen and women in the country of Kenya, Africa tonight. You've really been on my heart. I know you are battling great spiritual battles there, and in some cases, physical warfare. Lord, we just pray the protecting hand upon, especially tonight, the people of Kenya and all our Christian friends around the world. We bind the spirits of evil and of darkness that would like to harm our loved ones and Christian family. And we loose the power of your angels in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that the name of Jesus is all powerful and supersedes any power that the devil and his army could put together in totality. Lord, we believe it now in the name of Jesus that you will perform and show many miracles that are known to be from God and not from Satan. Lord, and that you will bind those who wish and seek to do harm upon our Christian family. Lord, we just pray that your name will be glorified and that your kingdom will come to fruition and be developed as you will, Lord, in thy name. Amen. Now, some of you, in fact, many people around the world I'm hearing are interested in some world events recently, as there are many happening ongoing the last year or two that have never before happened to this magnitude and are seeming in reality to be the fulfillment of the scripture, much in Revelation, other books as well. Now, it's a great mystery to some, as our President Obama of America has not been to Israel his whole first term, but now the second term he's deciding he's going to go to Israel, and it spikes speculation as to why he is going now and for what purposes. He's stated some agenda of a peace mission, but it has a lot of people wondering and just wondering what's up and what's going to be. And, you know, in America, a president is only a president by the consent of the governed or the consent of the people, because we are a republic. And many people are upset that he is acting more like a dictator or a tyrant than a president, according to our historical documents and founding documents of our type of a government, which is a constitutional republic, which means power is given to the people to participate within the government, and those who govern over the people are only given consent for a short time, never for a lifetime, only for periods of terms of office, such as 2, 4, or 6, or 8 years, but never for a lifetime without a revote. And a president is never supposed to have more than 2 terms out of office. So many of us are not only wondering, but concerned as to why President Obama is going to Israel at this time. But I'd like to give you and all the listeners a word of encouragement, and that nothing will happen unless God allows it. And everything that God allows has a purpose to fulfill his scriptures to the furtherance of his kingdom. When we stand on that together, we can trust together that God's will indeed be done. But we do need to pray on behalf of our belief to give the power of God's angels to be loosed on our behalf. Because God is a gentleman and he wants the prayers and worship of us as Christians to fight, so to speak, along with him and his heavenly angels in this end time spiritual, and for many it will be a physical battle, and many will yet lose their lives over being willing to put Christ first and not wanting to deny Christ. Those martyrs will have a special place in God's kingdom, and I pray that God be with each one of those and their families and give you strength and grace in the days ahead. For some of you, it's going to be very difficult. For many, it's going to be very difficult in the world ahead, according to Revelation. But God promises He will be with us. And we read a week or two ago about some of the things we can do to protect ourselves. And if we have time tonight, I might go back and get to that again. But I want to move ahead with chapter 14 in Revelation tonight. Remember last time we read in chapter 13 about the number 666, which is the mark of the beast. And there is much speculation who will be the beast. I don't want to say names at this point because it's still not firm who the beast is or will be. But I think when it occurs, it will be obvious to most. So in chapter 14, we're going to read about the Lamb standing on Mount Zion and the fall of Babylon and the harvest of the world. Now, I can remember as a teenager, when I was about 14, my grandmother was a pastor of a church in Santa Ana, California. There were about 150 people, and this was when Orange County didn't have very many people. They had in the entire region, the whole county, about 250,000 people, and now there are dozens of cities in that county with 200,000 people. So it has grown in population just exponentially large. So in those days, we had no idea how populated Orange County was to become. But we prayed constantly for the harvest. I can remember laying on the floor with us all laying on the floor, our hands raised. We'd been praying so long. We had to lay down and rest ourselves and continue to pray in the Spirit for the harvest that we knew was yet to come. And I think we are seeing the harvest being reaped in our day this year, last year, as many souls around the world are coming to know the Lord. And it is especially wonderful to me to have been a part of the early church in Orange County. This was in the 1950s, early 1960s I'm talking about here, when we prayed for the harvest, and then I lived long enough to see it. My grandmother and my mother have gone to be with the Lord already, so they didn't live long enough to see it. But I am especially blessed to see the harvest begin to be reaped. But I also know that that means we are in the end time. In verse 1, chapter 14, it says, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion." Now the lamb stands for Jesus. "And with him 144,000, having his father's name, his name, and the name of his father written in their foreheads." Now remember, we read about the 144,000 a couple chapters back, in which there were going to be 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel preserved. And that doesn't necessarily mean that those people are just in Israel. It could be, but maybe not, because the Israelites were dispersed around the world. Verse 2, "And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps." That's music. "And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, or living creatures, and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from earth." Remember, during the tribulation, when most believe that the Christians will have been raptured, there will be those 144,000 who will be redeemed, come to know the Lord during the time of tribulation. Verse 4, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile or lying, for they are without fault or blemish before the throne of God. So we know that liars will not be in this group. Verse 6, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. That verse tells us that the angel flew around and told the gospel so that every person on earth would have opportunity to hear the gospel. 7, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, Babylon the Great, because she which hath made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now, Babylon was somewhere in the Iraq area in ancient history. I don't know if that's Baghdad or the center of Iraq or not, but we know that Baghdad has fallen in the last decade. And that just is an interesting point of information. 9, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark on his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angel and in the presence of the Lamb. That verse is telling us, do not take the mark of the beast in your forehead or in your hand if you want to rule and reign and live with Christ eternally. Verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. So the beast will have an image made. We talked about that earlier in an earlier chapter. So that's another sign that it is the beast. 12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, now he's talking to John, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one set, like unto the sun, a son of man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. That's interesting. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, trust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. A sickle is a farming instrument that can be used to cut the crop and reap it and then stack it and store it. And so it's a harvest instrument or piece of equipment. 18. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. So they've harvested it, and then he's telling them now to grab it, pick it up. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine in the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Now that is an ominous, very ominous description, and it looks like we're going to have to read further on to find out more of what that means. Remember, Revelation has a lot of symbolism, and this is the harvest that has just been gathered and put into the winepress and trodden. So it sounds to me like, if you were just trying to interpret this metaphorically, that the great harvest is going to suffer some by being downtrodden, and that there will be martyrs possibly, because blood is going to come out of the winepress, much as juice comes out of the grapes when they are trodden on in the winepress. So we'll be finding out some more about that. I think I may have time to read more about that tonight. So stick with me. Looks like we'll probably get to find out some more about that. Right now, let's hear another praise song and worship together. We will glorify. Let's glorify the Lord together. This is by Twyla Harris. Hallelujah. Praise the name. praise the name of the Lord. We are going to have time to go ahead and read now the chapter of 15. It is a short chapter of just 8 verses. In this one, we're going to read about the 7 last plagues, the song of the victors, the 7 vials full of the wrath of God. This one, I think, is an encouraging chapter for Christians because we are going to see that God is victorious and we will get to share in that victory. Verse 1, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, 7 angels having the 7 last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, praise the Lord, and victory over the beast image, and victory over the beast mark, and victory over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. That's you and I, brother and sister, or whoever it is God has appointed to be there from the Christian kingdom. Verse 3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. In other words, some people are going to receive the judgment of God during this time. And after I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And the 7 angels came out of the temple, having the 7 plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, arrayed with precious stone, pure and bright, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the 4 beasts, or living creatures, gave unto the 7 angels 7 golden vials, full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the 7 plagues of the 7 angels were fulfilled. That's the end of chapter 15, and in our chapters hereafter, we're going to find out about those 7 plagues of the 7 angels and how that is poured out upon the earth and probably who is remaining at that time on the earth. So we've seen so far that the book of Revelation has gone somewhat in chronological order, but not necessarily so, because we've had some things happen here and there in the last few years that kind of plug in different places. But that's the thing about the writings of the scripture. The Lord did not want everything to be revealed and obviously apparent by just reading the scripture through the first time. He wanted there to remain some mystery as he would reveal more and more in the end time and as we see it unfold. I find the book of Revelation to be one of the, if not the most interesting book in the Bible at this time in our life, because we are living in it. Those in earlier times might have found other books of the Bible more important to them. But this one, we especially need to be ready and be prepared, because it is happening now in our lifetimes as we see it happening. Well, praise the name of the Lord. I'm so glad you have been with me tonight. And we're coming to the end of another wonderful session together, reading the scripture and learning about the things to come from the Lord God, and giving opportunity for those to become family members of God and to receive salvation. We just are grateful for those who are joining the family and for those who are sharing with others about how to join the family of God and how to live a good, godly Christian life. And I just feel prompted for a moment to mention that I think people in Ghana should each plant a few fruit trees, cinnamon plants, and grow honey by bees, having bee hives. You can find out how to do that by just searching online. You need two or three citrus trees in order for them to pollinate each other to bear fruit, and they make the honey taste good. So orange, lemon, lime, those kind of trees, or perhaps grapefruit. And then you can make beehives very simple with just boxes, but you may want to get the beehive garb or clothing that's a mesh that you wear over yourself to protect yourself from being stung when you work with bees, and train and learn about it before you try it, because you don't want to be stung. And you want those out far enough away from people so people won't just come upon those beehives and be harmed. You may or may not have it. By chance, I have posted about the importance of honey and cinnamon, eating or drinking that daily for good health all around the world. It can help with many ailments and illnesses, and gives you some nutrition at the same time. Drinking it with tea, coffee, or just plain water. I often drink it with hot water. And I believe that God has given us these natural fruit and vegetable and herbs and plants in order to benefit mankind and give us healing properties naturally through the wisdom that God gives us. So I pray that you will begin to do that. Perhaps you can each just plant a couple of trees in your backyard, and they're close enough to your house. You can water them with a bucket. If you just water them daily until they get established, you may not have to water them every day once they're established. Sometimes they have root shock, so you might need to share with a little bit of liquid vitamin to put in the first week or two when you plant new trees. And sometimes you get ants that climb up the trees and kill the trees. So in Orange County here, they used to paint the bottom foot or two of the tree with something white. I just always thought it was white paint. And that would keep the ants from going up and ruining your trees. They say a few ants don't hurt it, but you don't want a whole horde. Or you could circle in the dirt, a circle of comet cleansing around in the circle of the dirt, and the ants won't usually cross that. Or if they do, they don't come back. So there are natural ways that you can help your plants to survive. If the leaves get mold and mildew on the bottom, you can just spray them with a little soapy water, or wipe them off with a cloth that you've dipped it into a little soapy water, like you might wash dishes with, and you wipe off the leaves, and that gets the fungus and things off, and mites and white flies that like to be on the leaves of citrus fruit plants. So there are natural ways to do it without having DDT sprays. I just spray my leaves with soapy water, and they do fine. So I pray that God will give you natural wisdom with how to use God's natural healing properties that He has given us to use out of the abundance of the earth. Let's bow our heads together in prayer as we close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. I always enjoy it, being with my friends and family. And we pray, Lord, that you would enact the works that you wish for the furtherance of your kingdom, and that you would use God's people, fill them with your spirit, allow the Holy Spirit to guide them, give them wisdom and greater understanding of the scripture as they read. Lord, we are so grateful for the encouraging service we saw a couple of weeks ago of the people of Kenya standing up for God, asking for redemption and forgiveness and salvation. Lord, we pray that you bless them and honor their stand of faith. Lord, that you would reward them, Lord, and be with them, protect them. Continue to give them wisdom with how to pursue the stand that they have taken, and to help win those devil worshipers who seek to harm and defeat them. Lord, we pray that you would woo by your spirit and soften the hearts of the devil worshipers, that you would bind the spirit of the devil in those devil worshipers, Lord, and make them impotent and without power or ability to harm anybody. We pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord. Praise you for it and thank you for it. Lord, be with us. And thank you, Lord. Oh, we just know, Lord, and look forward to the wonderful, mighty works that you are going to do in the days ahead. Some will be troubled and difficult, but the reward in the end will be most blessed and most wonderful, to live an eternal life with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as a part of the Bride of Christ and the Christian family. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. Bless each one. Lord, we worship you, honor you, and praise your name, Lord Jesus. We bow before you in honor, worship, and respect of your holy holiness. Thou art holy and worthy of worship. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just worship together as we close with the rest of this song. Just worship with the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Diane Lennon, your host, saying good night or good day. Until next time, remember that God loves you and I love you. We look forward to our time together next time. Take care and God's blessings to you. Bye-bye.